Welcome to the podcast Design Your Success, the podcast that bridges the gap between human design and business. Every episode shares the inspiring story of a business owner who is real, raw, and honest. Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of the Design Your Success podcast. I am your host. My name is Nicolene, and I am absolutely thrilled to have my guest today, Jenny Ballinger. And she is the one who really ignited the fire of starting this podcast. And I was a speaker on her summit, and I absolutely loved it. So, Jenny, I'm so excited you're here. Welcome.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nicolene. I'm so glad that our conversation after the summit has helped reignite this for you, because I know what podcasting has done for me and my business and my audience. I mean, the audience members who reach out to me and share with me how they're building and growing in their lives and business just from listening to episodes, like, that fills my cup. I love it.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. So thank you for reigniting the fire in me. And please introduce yourself to our listeners.
Absolutely. So I'm Jenny Bellinger. I work with direct sales moms who have ADHD. And what I do is I help them focus on their business growth activities, so that way when they have family time, they can focus, because they know that their business is growing. They've already done the work. So that's what I do. And then I also have my podcast, Badass Direct Sales Mastery. And as you mentioned, I do my annual virtual summit, virtual interactive event, also by the same name, Badass Direct Sales Mastery. So it's both are really focused towards people in the direct sales industry. But what I have been told by a number of other entrepreneurs is that they find the episodes and they find the virtual interactive event to be very helpful for them, because business is business is business. I don't care how you get paid.
I love that. I absolutely love it. And what I love about it too is that you have this little wink about, you know, the Badass Direct Sales Mastery. So if you look at the acronym, it's so much fun. And I think that's how we connected about the summit as well, because, you know, my books are all about the F word, and where people are like, what? And you were like, yes, I want this woman on my summit.
Absolutely. Because the really fun thing is, you know, this was my first time running my summit through Event Raptor. And so you were one of the first people who applied to be a speaker that I did not know, because everybody else who had already applied, they were people I knew. I sent them to the link and said, here, sign up as a speaker. And then I got the notification that, hey, there's someone here. And I was like, who is this? And then I went and I looked at your webpage and I saw your books and I went, oh, hell yeah. She's she's a fit. Yeah, bring it on, sister. I cannot wait to meet you.
Oh, it's so exciting. It was so lovely, because we met for the first time when you were doing the summit. I was like, oh my goodness, this is such a great match.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. So this podcast is all about where business and human design meet. So let's talk a bit about you and your business. So how did you get to be an entrepreneur?
Oh my gosh. Well, I never planned it. You know, when I was a little girl, every time you asked me what I wanted to be, the answer was different. So I should have known back then that I had ADHD, because I couldn't pick one thing I wanted to be when I grew up. But it was never, I never said I want, my answer was always, you know, ended up being an employee, basically. Like, I wanted to be a teacher, or I wanted to be a nurse, or I wanted to be a doctor, or I wanted to be a firefighter, or a police person, you know, policewoman, or whatever, right? So I would have always ended up working for someone else for the most part, right? At least in the traditional way of thinking about either medicine or education or anything. Yeah. And so I did end up becoming a teacher. I was a middle school science teacher for a number of years, and I absolutely loved it, because I ended up in a very different teaching position. It wasn't a traditional one. And it was a great fit. But when I got pregnant with my oldest child, I realized I wanted to take some time off, be a mom, And I was like, I can always go back to teaching. It's fine. What I didn't know was there was a recession on its way. So then when I was trying to go back to teaching, schools couldn't afford me because, you know, here in the States, you know, a lot of schools are paid by this, you know, by state funds and government funds and federal funds, and you know, and then they get some taxes from the local whatever. And schools were hurting. I mean, literally they were millions of dollars in debt, and so they could not take on somebody who had experience. So if it came down to me and another teacher who was brand spanking new straight out of college, they went with the new college grad because they were going to save $10,000 to $15,000 a year in the difference in pricing. So I was like, okay, or in salaries, I should say. And so this was 2010. I had gone on 18 interviews that year and heard no 18 times. Well, technically I heard yes 9 times, but that was for the second interview, and then 9 no's when the official decision was going to be made. And they were like, we really want you, and we hope you'll come back and apply again when we have money, because you know, we'd love to have you, we just can't afford you right now. And so I began, after the ninth no, took the hint from the universe and said, okay, universe, if I'm not meant to be a teacher, what am I supposed to do? And 2 days later, in the mailbox came a invitation to a direct sales event, a direct sales jewelry event. And so I went to that event with the intention of helping my sister-in-law launch her business. And I walked out of that event with my own business.
That's a good story.
I had no idea what I was doing. I had never been in sales before. I mean, I was a teacher. I was a stay-at-home mom of a toddler. I had not equated at that point in time, you know, selling eating your vegetables to selling jewelry.
Yeah.
I know that now, but back then I was like, I don't know how to sell anything, but I mean, the universe answered my query. You know, I said, hey, what am I supposed to do instead? And it threw this business opportunity at my feet. And who am I to say no when the universe is saying, hey, try this, do this. And so I did it. And I was with that company, building my business for 7 years. During those 7 years, I earned 9 incentive trips, car bonuses, cash bonuses with commas in them. My team hit number one in the world for group recruiting. We hit number three in the world for group sales. I mean, just basically all the boxes for, is this person successful in direct sales? I tick every single one of them.
Oh, wow.
And so when my team hit number one in the world, I had a lot of other leaders from within the company asking me how I did that. And so they started hiring me to come train their team, to coach their people, all of that kind of stuff. And I started realizing that, hey, this time I'm spending on everybody else's team is taking away from my business, is taking away from my team. Because if I'm spending time with these other people's team, I'm not spending that time with mine, and I'm not spending time with my family. But I love it so freaking
Yeah. Oh,
And
my goodness.
so that's around the time that the universe introduced me to business coaches. And I realized that there was a hugely underserved population, because all the business coaches I was meeting, none of them were serving people in direct sales or network marketing. And I had this little light bulb moment go, ding, this is where you're going next.
Yeah.
And so in 2017, I certified as a professional coach, and I walked away from my direct sales business so I could pursue this full time, because I felt that this was my calling, my place to be. And here I am, you know, at the time of this recording, it's 6 years later,
Yeah.
and my business is absolutely flourishing, and my clients are just having amazing results, and I frankly couldn't be happier. This is where this is where I was meant to be.
Oh, wow, that's so wonderful. And I know that you're a manifesting generator. So
Yes.
you are the multi-talented, multi-passionate person, but it's so wonderful that you have found within all the wonderful things that you are good at and that you love doing, that this is your thing. This is what you absolutely love doing.
Yeah. Well, it's
So,
nice because even within coaching, I still get to do a lot of different things. So, I get to do the podcasting. I get to do a DISC assessment. That's my, you do human design. I work within DISC.
yeah.
I also include another program that I've been certified in, which is the Ohana Way. I also incorporate that into my coaching. So, coaching, and I'm putting air quotes around that. Coaching is not just one thing, and certainly I bring these different elements into how I'm serving my clients and helping them build and grow too.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. So would you say, because I know for many people in the coaching industry, people who are, well, they have to sell, but they are like service providers. So, and many of my clients are people who really love to make the world a better place, but they find selling so hard. So would you say that anyone can learn how to sell?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, 100%. The reason I know this is because we all started at the same place. Every single one of us started being born into the world, and none of us knew how to walk or talk.
Yeah.
So if I can learn how to sell that in a way that doesn't feel gross, if I can learn how to sell in a way that people actually ask me how to become my client, it's a skill that absolutely can be taught and learned 100%.
I love that. I love it, especially what you said about selling, not in the gross way, not in the icky way that people are like, oh, because people would like to buy, but they don't like being sold to.
Exactly. And it
So, yeah.
Yeah, and part of the reason that most people have difficulty with selling, right, is because they've had so many negative experiences with the people who were selling to them that, and they've had so few positive experiences of buying, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at the cosmic balance of negative experiences to positive experiences, it's hugely weighted, unfortunately, on the negative side, because our brains have evolved to remember the painful things so we don't do that thing again. So of course, those few times that we have, we can't remember everything that that person did until we stop and sit back and really look at it. We just know, I don't want to be like those 100,000 people who have tried to sell me poorly.
Yeah.
The hey girl messages that come in LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Nobody wants those. Nobody likes those, right? But they don't know how to approach it from the way that these other positive examples came from. But there's definitely a way to do it that allows you to go through the process with somebody such that by the end, they are saying, how can I work with you? How can I buy your product? How can I buy your cert? Like, when you've created that curiosity, when you've built the relationship with the person, and the whole time you're not once talking about the product, you're not once talking about your service, you are just connecting human to human, and then moving into, once you know enough about them, then you can begin to work into the business conversation with permission.
Yes, absolutely.
That is so important. So, but you can't do that if you don't know who you're talking to.
Absolutely. That was one of the biggest game changers. What I learned to when I started my own business now 13 years ago, that you have to ask for permission to sell. And it's never about, pushing your product or service. But it's always about asking for permission. So one way that I always use when I talk to a person and we talk about the issues that they are encountering in their business and the challenges that they face, and then at some point they ask me like, okay, so how does your coaching work? And then I always ask the extra question. So you want me to share how I work with my clients? Is that okay with you? So it's really literally asking for permission. That says, yeah, please do. And I'm like, okay, here we go.
Exactly, because then they have buy-in into the conversation, because that's really what it should be. It really should be a back and forth, not a pitch, 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 right? Because when you think back, I want the listener right now to think back to a negative experience they've had. What was going on in that negative experience? How much time did you talk versus how much time did the seller talk?
Absolutely.
They were pitching you like crazy. Now, sometimes, every once in a while, when someone is selling us like crazy, we still go, yeah, I want your stuff. They still don't like the process and they still won't love the person that they just got pitched by, but they want or need the product or service at that point in time, or they see it despite the pitchiness, and they go, you know what? I'm willing to look past that to get this, but they don't want to continue working with that person necessarily, right?
Exactly.
So it's a delicate balance, right, to go through that. But when the person who's on the entrepreneurial side, the coaches can spend more time letting the other person talk, so that they can begin to identify, oh, this is where they're having some hangups, or you can ask a question around that. Because then, once you know what's holding somebody back in their life or their business, depending on what they're coaching on, right? If they're coaching on marketing, if they're coaching on business, if they're coaching on sales, if they're coaching on life, relationship, parenting, right? Once you know where their big hangup is, then you can say, if you have a product or a service that solves that big hangup, then you can very easily say, I think I have a solution for you, but I don't want to, like, I don't want to pitch you, right? So is it okay if I tell you a little bit about it and we can see if this is a fit? Because if it's not, no harm, no
All
foul.
good. Yeah,
Right.
exactly. I always tell people, and I didn't invent this quote myself. I got it from one of my mentors, and she says, I don't close sales, I open up relationships. And I think that's exactly what sales should be, that you open up relationships, and whether someone buys or not, it's all about the relationship.
Because even if they don't buy from you, right? But if they come away from that conversation with a positive experience of you, if they come across somebody who they know would need your product or service, they'll refer you,
Absolutely.
right? They'll recommend you. I've got it, it's so interesting. I've had a number of clients come on board with me because on social media, somebody has posted, hey, I'm needing help with this thing in my business, or I need help with, because one of the other little side things that I do is I help podcasters monetize their podcast, right? I've had people recommend podcasters to me, and those people come to me and they're ready to have that conversation. They're like, I hear that you are monetizing your podcast. How can I do that, right? These other people who recommended me, they don't even have a podcast. Right?
Exactly.
But they know what I've done. They like me. They know that I'm going to do what's best for the other person that they're sending to me. So they'll recommend me. And that's because I focused on the relationship. Oh, well, oh, you're not going to buy my coaching services? Pfft, forget you.
That's what
Man,
happens a lot.
if I did that, I'd have 8 billion people around the world. I'd kind of have to do a psychic F you too. Because there's about 7.5 billion people, if not more, who don't need my services, right?
Exactly. You're right.
Goodness. And I don't want to do that. I'd rather have 7.5 billion people like me who can refer the other 500 million to me, and We'll figure it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, I love that. It's so true. It's so true because, and I've had these conversations with coaches, with people who try to sell me something, and the moment I said no, it was like, okay, we're done. Moving on.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so unfortunate because it's like, okay, well, cool. Well, how can I instead, how can we find out how we can work together or collaborate or refer to each other, right? Now, it also
Exactly.
helps that I've had 12 years in a referral marketing organization. So I've been a part of BNI for 12 years. So I've learned the benefits of collaborating with people who seemingly don't ha aren't are never going to hire me, right? They don't need my services. They aren't in the direct sales industry. They don't have a podcast. So they're like, in theory, they are never going to hire me. And
No.
yet sometimes those people do because they want to know what it's like to work with me. So they'll do one of my smaller services, or they might do a pop-up coaching session just to see what it's like so that they
Yeah.
can refer me. But I maintain that relationship because it's also beneficial for me and my clients for me to be able to say, hey, oh, you need that thing?
Yeah.
I know someone.
Yeah. That's
And
it, right?
even if I don't specifically know the person, I can f literally, I don't care what it is that somebody needs, I can find it somewhere in the world.
Yeah.
I really can. I honestly can. I've got a network of over 300,000 businesses
That's
world.
wonderful. Yeah.
Right. And so that can literally help my clients. And I've got clients in other countries. I'm not just an American coach working with American people. Now, I can only work with people who speak English because I am a
Yeah.
stereotypical American. I only speak English and je parle français un peu, mais je parle français comme un enfant. I speak French, but I only speak a little and I speak like a kid. Just in case somebody listening doesn't speak French.
So true. Well, it helps when you speak multiple languages. I speak four of them, including my native language, so that helps if you speak multiple languages. But still, it's what you said is so true. People may not be your client, but they may be an ambassador for you. And that's the whole thing, that we need to create ambassadors. And perhaps they will be a client one day, and perhaps they won't. But
Right.
the least thing that we should aim for is making them an ambassador for us.
Oh yeah, exactly. I mean, it's so funny to prove the point. One of my biggest advocates, so he's not an ambassador. He doesn't go find me clients necessarily, but he's a major advocate for me. There is a landscaper, so somebody who like takes care of people's lawns and landscapes here in the St. Louis area of the United States, where whenever he sees a post of value from my business page, he shares it.
Oh,
Right?
bless
He's
him.
just putting that out in front of, he's just saying, hey, guys, this is a good post. Look at this quote. Look at this cool thing that she's doing.
That's great.
And he's a landscaper, right? One would never think that this guy would, but he's one of my biggest advocates. He shares that more than anybody else I know.
That's great.
He pops up in my notifications all the time, right?
Oh, that's
So,
wonderful.
because I've built the relationship with him.
That's it, right? It's all about relationships.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when we look at human design, because you know a bit more about human design now, and because we're looking at sales and human design, I fully understand why some of the energy types or some people with certain profile lines or open or closed centers have difficulties selling. So what would you say is the most common difficulty people have when selling?
It really falls around fear, right? Their own fear of being seen as one of those bad sellers that they've experienced before. It really falls around fear. And that fear comes because they don't know the skills to do it the right way, you know? So once they can realize that, hey, this fear doesn't have to hold me back from it. The fear just says, hey, there's something that I don't know. And so, of course, many of us are fearful of the unknown, right? So here's this thing I don't know. So go learn it. Go learn it. Now, I don't know enough about all the different designs to be able to be like, oh, here, go, you go do this and you need to go learn this. And that I don't know, but what I can do through a conversation with somebody is go, oh, it sounds like your issue is around verbiage, or it sounds like your issue is around your mindset. That I can help with.
Well, you know, it's my experience when I have people with a lot of open centers in human design, so they pick up on other people's energy, and they can, especially when you have an open solar plexus or an open heart center. Open solar plexus means that you can literally tune into other people's feelings. So you literally feel what other people are feeling. And especially when you're selling and you feel that the other person is not like taking it well, or like, I'm not sure. So when you feel that, it causes like anxiety, or it causes like worry of, oh my goodness, what would this person think of me? So when you have a lot of open centers, it can be hard to sell.
And I think there's a, there's an easy reframe that somebody can, who has that description that you just gave, that they have the open centers and they are sensing what the other person is feeling, and they're sensing, hey, they're not buying this. They do have two choices to make on how they're going to feel about it. Because yes, we do get to choose how we feel or how we see things, because fear and excitement feel exactly the same in your body. The only difference is, what do we call it in our head?
Absolutely.
Because think about it. When you're scared, when you have fear, your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases, your skin will flush. What happens when you're excited? Your heart rate increases, your blood pressure increases, your skin will flush. It's the same feeling. The difference is once we name it, it then either, once we name that thing fear, it moves into the stomach and it feels like, oh, but if we name it excitement, it moves into our heart center and we're like excited, and you know, it moves, that happiness moves up into our head and our face and we're happier about it, right? So if somebody is sensing that, not buying it from the other person, they can tell themselves, oh no, I'm screwing the pooch, I'm not doing this right. Or they can take that as a sign of, oh, I haven't hit the right things yet. I need to ask some more questions. I need to slow down and say, what questions do you have? You know, like reframe it. So I need to pull back, not push. I need to give them some space, make sure there's, bring back that psychological safety and trust and rapport building, and then go back into the conversation about the product or service, if that's where they were going. Or just to, you know, it could be that what they're sensing is the person is realizing, this isn't the product or service I need, but they just don't know how to say no. So just assessing that can change the conversation, because a no is just as wonderful as a yes.
Absolutely. It's true. The thing is that many people take a no as a personal rejection.
Yes. And especially the more empathetic, like feeling heart-centered people will take a no as, you know, oh, they don't want to work with me. No, they just don't. They don't have the problem that you solve, or they don't see your solution as the one that they need, right? Because they feel like they want X, Y, or Z to fix their problem, right? You know, so you may be a health coach recognizing, you know, diet and exercise, you know, working on their eating, working on their movement is the way to go. And they want a pill. They want a surgery. They want a quick fix. They don't want to change their lifestyle. That no is just important, because if you're going to try and bring that person on as a client and they are fighting you the whole time, they're going to be the most pain in the ass client you're ever going to have.
Oh my goodness. Yes.
So the no is incredibly freeing to be like, okay, not my client. Great. Now that doesn't mean, again, to go back to, that doesn't mean we cut them off as a human being because they may change their mind or they may have other people in their life where they go, okay, yeah, I want the magic pill, but this other person has stated they want, food and exercise, food and movement to be their way of getting rid of the excess whatever fluff.
The Muppet Top.
Yeah, exactly. So they can then again refer that person to you, because if you accept that they're not your client, that your solution is not the one that is the best fit for them or what they want or what they think they want, that no is incredibly like, okay, cool. Now we can just be friends. It's great, you know?
True. Yeah,
Awesome.
absolutely true. Absolutely true. So when you look at your business and the years that you have done with what you do, were there any pivotal moments for you when you took a decision to change things to, well, apart from the things that you already described, were there any pivotal moments for you?
Yeah, I would have to say the decision to start my podcast was a huge pivotal moment for me, because I went into the thing the I got invited to go to a what's called the New Media Summit, which doesn't exist anymore, but it did exist from 2017 until 2020, and then the world shut down. But the New Media Summit was all about podcasting and YouTube channels. And at the time in 2017, I was a brand new coach. I was like, I don't have time to learn how to podcast. I don't have time to do YouTube videos and blah, blah. Like, I didn't get it, right? But my friend and my coach, Virginia, said, you're gonna go to this with me because I'm going, and you can just go get on shows. Okay, just go promote yourself because no one does what you do. I was like, oh, okay, yeah, I can do that. But seeing the benefit of being a guest on the podcast and what that led to in my business made me realize, oh, I wonder what would happen if. But then I also, being the way that I am, I'm not going to go into podcasting without a plan. I was like, if I'm going to do this, it needs to fit into my business. It needs to add to my business. It shouldn't be something that detracts from it. It should be something that helps market me, that helps get me clients, that helps bring income stream into my business. How do I do this? And I met the right podcast coach who helped me do all of those things. And then I was like, okay, shift. Now this is my marketing plan, because I'm telling you, in 6 years, I've gotten one client from Google. All of my other clients have come from the podcast or by referral or me direct prospecting. But even that's like Google one, direct prospecting five clients in 6 years that I've direct prospected to do that. But referral and
And the
through the
prospect.
podcast, they outshine those other two methods. So it makes so much more sense for me to take advertising dollars, which, yes, eventually someday I could put that towards Google Ads, but at this point,
No.
the podcast does it. It's that's much better time and money and effort spent there
And
than,
what's more fun?
oh, way more fun. Oh,
Lots
so much more
of
fun.
fun. Yeah, because you're talking to people and you get to interact, and that's the thing that generators and manifesting generators, I mean generator, you're a manifesting generator. That's what we should be doing. We should do the things that light us up, that make us feel excitement, like, oh yeah, this is great, because that's the energy that becomes magnetic, and that's the energy that will attract clients.
Absolutely. And I know that's true for me, because there are people who have come to me because they heard my voice on the podcast over and over and over again. And so they went and found me on social media, and they started following me there, and they were watching my TikToks or they were watching my Facebook reels, and they were watching my posts, and they got to know me. And so by the time they actually hopped on a complimentary coaching call, they already felt like they knew me and they were pretty much ready to
Exactly.
go. They just wanted confirmation that I knew that I could help them.
Yeah,
You
it's
know?
so much fun, isn't it? When people already have the feeling that they know you, it's so much fun because, a few weeks ago I was at a live networking event, and it happens every single time when I'm going to live network events. I always meet people who tell me, "Oh, I've been following you for a few years already, either on LinkedIn or Facebook or Instagram. And I love that we finally meet in person." And then I'm like, "I don't know you
I
because we haven't met. We haven't, but they have watched my videos. They have seen my content. They have seen it all. So it's so much
Oh, yeah.
fun."
Absolutely. I mean, I had my first experience last year of someone seeing me out in public and realizing I listened to her podcast. Like, because my podcast is audio only. So
Okay.
the only picture that people have of me is the picture that's on the cover of my podcast. And
Yeah.
I don't exactly look like that anymore. I have purple hair now, and on my podcast cover art, I have normal colored hair that has been tinted through filters. So it looks pink. So it looks a little different. And I don't have a smile on my face, so I'm very austere because I'm the direct sales dom. So I
Yeah.
am like playing into stereotype, right? For
Yeah.
fun. But they recognized my voice, and then they saw my name badge because it was at an event where we had these big giant name badges and lanyards, and he came up to me from across the room and he's like, "I listen to your podcast." And I was like,
Okay.
"Oh my God, for real? Yes?" And then literally this was in Denver, Colorado. And then literally the next week I had an event in St. Louis that was a personal event. It was not a business event. It was a personal event that I was going to. I'm sitting there like it one of those little paint things, painting my thing, and I'm talking to somebody and I'm laughing or whatever, and some gal comes over to me and she goes, it was near the end of the class, and she goes, "Okay, I heard your laugh when you first got here, and I spent the whole time going, where have I heard that? I've heard that laugh before. I've heard that laugh before." And then I heard you say your name, and I went and looked on my podcast thing, and I realized I've been listening to your podcast, and I knew you lived in St. Louis, but I didn't know that I was going to be like this close to you. Like I was like Tom Cruise or something, you know, like some
Celebrity.
celebrity, right? And I'm like, oh my gosh, yes. And so I was like, do you want to take a picture together? Do you want, like, because then I start fangirling over my listeners as much as they're fangirling over me. I'm
Oh,
just as
that's so
excited to
great.
meet them.
That's great. That's great. I hope that will happen to me one day when
Oh,
people
it
are like,
will.
"Oh,
Oh.
I've been listening to your podcast."
Oh, well, if they're following your Instagram, if they're following your LinkedIn, and they're gonna follow your podcast, and they're gonna eventually go, "Wait a minute, I've heard that voice before."
Exactly. Oh, I love that. I absolutely love that.
It
Oh
will
my
happen.
goodness, this is
I'm
so
calling it
exciting.
into I'm j I'm manifesting it for you.
Yes. Thank you. Oh, I'm a generator, so the manifesting thing is not my thing, but it's definitely, well, since you're doing it for me, it's gonna happen.
Calling it into being for you. Yes.
Absolutely. Thank you. So about, when we start wrapping up this wonderful conversation,
Sure.
we could talk for an hour,
Oh,
at
we
least
could.
more. We easily could. I would love to hear the top three best lessons or advice that you have for our listeners.
Ooh, okay. I'd have to start with persistence. Persistence in business, persistence in life, but not to the point of being annoying and stalkerish, okay? There's a line. I really do believe that my success in life and business has come from my persistence, in everything that I'm doing, and especially with the podcast. Consistency. You know, people knowing that you're showing up when you said you were going to show up, be consistent with the persistence, and you almost can't go wrong. And then third, come from a place of light and love, and everybody wants to be in that light. Everybody wants to receive that love and give it back to you, and it changes everything for you. That for me, if people just do those three things, persistent, consistent, and come from a place of light and love, be a light in the world, be a loving being in the world, and everything will work out.
Yeah, I love that. I love that. I think that's such a powerful energy that when you come from a place of light and love, it's so much better. And people, like you said, people want to be around that
Yeah.
and they want to become that too, especially
It's, oh
when
yeah.
they don't have it themselves. They want to become that too.
Yeah, it's like moth to a flame. It really, really is. And then, they just, yeah, they absolutely want to be a part of it. And even if they don't become, like I said, even if they don't become a client, they become your raving fan who shares you with every, like the landscaper. He
I
loves
love
my
that
light and
example.
love, and he shares me out with the world, even though he's never going to hire me. He's not my ideal client. No.
No, but he's one of your biggest fans, and that's
But he's
just
a big
great.
fan.
And that's because you share your stuff from a place of light and love. And
Exactly.
it's so funny when you said something about the stalking bit and all of that. You reminded me of an interview that I watched with Sofia Vergara. I'm sure you know her, and she's such a
Yeah.
wonderful Colombian lady, and she has this, I love accents. So,
Yes.
and she said to the guy, because he was very flattery and very, oh, but you look so beautiful. And she said, don't be creepy.
Exactly. Persistent without creepy. Persistent without stalkering. Okay. But, we can't just always be going after the shiny object.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I think that's a wonderful conclusion to our conversation. So I would love to thank you for sharing all of your nuggets of wisdom and for igniting the fire in me and hopefully in other people too. Because it might be that people are listening now and they're like, I want a podcast too. So they're going to come to you because we're going to share all your details. And I really look forward to be launching this and make you part of it. And
Oh,
so thank you for that.
you are welcome. No, thank you for having me to be a part of this. I'm so excited to help you get this going.
So am I. All right. Thank you. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Design Your Success podcast. If you would like to be a guest, make sure to go to our website, www.nicolinahuizinga.com.